20 minutes later, the electric ventilators were set going in order to evacuate the gas. The doors opened. The trucks arrived. And a Sonderkommando squad loaded the clothing and the shoes separately. They were going to disinfect them. This time it was a case of real disinfection. Later they would transport them by rail to various parts of the country. The ventilators, patented exhator system, quickly evacuated the gas from the room. But in the crannies between the dead and the cracks of the doors, small pockets of it always remained. Even 2 hours later, it caused a suffocating cough. For that reason, the Sonderkommando group, which first moved into the room, was equipped with gas masks. Once again, the room was powerfully lighted, revealing a horrible spectacle. The bodies were not lying here and there throughout the room, but piled in a mass to the ceiling. The reason for this was that the gas first inundated the lower layers of air and rose but slowly towards the ceiling. This forced the victims to trample one another in a frantic effort to escape the gas. Yet a few feet higher up, the gas reached them. What a struggle for life there must have been. Nevertheless, it was merely a matter of 2 or 3 minutes respite. If they had been able to think about what they were doing, they would have realized that they were trampling their own children, their wives, their relatives. But they couldn't think. Their gestures were no more than the reflexes of the instinct of self-preservation. I noticed that the bodies of the women, the children, and the aged were at the bottom of the pile. At the top, the strongest. Their bodies, which were covered with scratches and bruises from the struggle which had set them against each other, were often interlaced. Blood oozed from their noses and mouths. Their faces, bloated and blue, were so deformed as to be almost unrecognizable. Nevertheless, some of the Sonderkommando often did recognize their kin. The encounter was not easy, and I dreaded it for myself. I had no reason to be here, and yet I had come down among the dead. I felt it my duty to my people and to the entire world to be able to give an accurate account of what I had seen, if ever, by some miraculous whim of fate, I should escape. The Sonderkommando squad, outfitted with large rubber boots, lined up around the hill of bodies and flooded it with powerful jets of water. This was necessary because the final act of those who die by drowning or by gas is an involuntary defecation. Each body was befouled and had to be washed. Once the bathing, quote-unquote, of the dead was finished, a job the Sonderkommando carried out by a voluntary act of impersonalization and in a state of profound distress, the separation of the welter of bodies began. It was a difficult job. They knotted thongs around the wrists, which were clenched in a vise-like grip, and with these thongs they dragged the slippery bodies to the elevators in the next room. 4 good-sized elevators were functioning. They loaded 20 to 25 corpses to an elevator. The ring of a bell was the signal that the load was ready to ascend. The elevator stopped at the crematorium's incineration room, where large sliding doors opened automatically. The commando who operated the trailers were ready and waiting. Again, straps were fixed to the wrists of the dead, and they were dragged onto specially constructed chutes, which unloaded them in front of the furnaces. The bodies lay in close ranks, the old, the young, the children. Blood oozed from their noses and mouths, as well as from their skin, abraded by the rubbing and mixed with the water running in the gutters set in the concrete floor. And then a new phase of the exploitation and utilization of Jewish bodies took place. And we will continue next week. Until then, peace.